And I'd like you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to the 23rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. We advance a little more in the study of this marvelous book, and there are a lot of people who are listening in the evening over the internet, and they write commentaries and write their understanding and their approval that we are in the Old Testament, which is my measure. I was in seminary, and so it is what I specialize. Let's have a word of prayer as we look into this wonderful scripture. Heavenly Father, without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. So give us your word today, and let the spirit show us the way. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Chapter 20, all the way to 27, talks about judgment. And the chapter is divided, as I explained in my outline, in two sections. Verses 1 to 14 talks about the destruction of Tyre, and that was predicted by the Lord. And then, from verses 15 to the end, that little section talks about hope. And you will see how God has a remnant of believers all the time, even in the day of judgment, that will be in his hand. So we're going to look at verse by verse. We're going to look in the account and see what God is saying. I want you to know that the English word Tarsus is the word Spanish, all right? When you see Tarsus is the word Spanish. It talks about Spain, all right? Okay, chapter 23 in the book of Isaiah, the historical account. In verse 1, the sailors of Tarshish, it means Spain, will weep in sorrow. Look at this. The burden against Tyre. Wail, you ships of Tarshish. You know, Spain has, in Tarshish, which is Malaga, has tremendous ports for business. And the world never changed. America is glorious in business. So was, at that time, the coastline of the Mediterranean. And the scriptures say here that people will no longer be able to go into that port. In verse 1 also, the economy of Cyprus will be especially hurt. Look at in verse 1, the burden against Tyre, wail, you ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no harbor for the land of Cyprus. In some Bibles, the word Shittim, it is revealed to them. In other words, Cyprus, the island, and there will be the navigation on the Mediterranean will be without business. Now, this is not done by a low commerce or by bad banking. This is done by God. So the economy of the world is controlled by God. And we are not at the mercy of the banks. We are at the mercy of our faithfulness to God. That's a very important. In verse 2, when news of Tyre collapses reaches the countries, all business will be silent. Look at verse 2. Be still, you inhabitants of the coastland, you merchants of Sidon, whom those who cross the sea have filled. In other words, the Mediterranean was always, as you read the Old Testament, people will travel as far as Tarshish, as far as Spain, to do business. In each port, you sell, you buy, you do this, you do the other. And God said the economy is going to come so down. Now, we're talking about fighting here. We're talking about God using the economy as a way of judgment. And so it's bringing the economy down so there will be no longer business. When I studied this, I wonder about America today. You know that? I wonder about our country. All right? Verse 3, Egypt economy will also suffer greatly from Tyre's destruction. Look at verse 3. And on great waters, the grain Shihor is Egypt. The harvest of the river is her revenue, and she is a marketplace for the nations. So Egypt always has been a port of business right by Libya. And they were across the ocean to the other side, and really God is going, when God really put his hand on business, he said, I want to hurt people, I want to hurt the economy, he does it completely. He doesn't do it partial way. He completely touched the main structures of the world. Now, when you think today that Europe, years ago, 1910, I was in Europe. I was in Spain, and they told me that at that time they had a peseta money. And I enjoy a $1.140. $1, a wonderful coffee with prosciutto and cheese and a big piece of bread like that, and that was your breakfast, $1. I said, one day will be when we had euro and we will control the world. Unfortunately, I have news for them. The euro started very low, they went very high, and now it's going down, down the hill. The countries cannot pay their own expenses. And people say, who is guilty? Now, look, nothing escaped the hands of God. Nothing. Everything in the world is under the control of God. So Egypt, who was so proud at that time, Egypt was like America is today, the center of business, is going to get hurt. Verse 4 and verse 5, when Sidon saw its economy collapse, the city will be ashamed. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken. The strength of the sea, saying, I do not labor nor bring forth children, neither do I rear young men nor bring up virgins. When the report reaches Egypt, they also will be in agony at the report of Tyre. In other words, when the news gets to there, it is panic. I was reading economical reports on China, and they are scared to death that the United States will go down because they depend that we purchase things. Remember, they labor and they sell it back to us, and if we do not buy it, nobody is going to buy it. And so, if it's a government that wants the economy of the United States way on the high, it's China, because they depend on our purchasing power. When I was in Mexico, I can tell you the purchase power of people. No Mexican people were in the fancy hotels, except the rich ones, because nobody can fork a hamburger at $8 when they earn $5 a day. The most paid people were $10 a day. And so their purchase power is very low. So you buy a newspaper, and I brought some newspaper, there is no advertising. There's maybe one page of advertising, and it's gone. Because nobody's going to buy it. They have no money. It's just amazing. And they told me this. He said, Pastor, the American sport is not their games. It's buying. You get a newspaper, they get the newspaper USA Today over there in Mexico. They get that paper and advertising. They say, who's buying all of this? I said, well, they have money or loans to buy it, and they do. And so here the economy said, Egypt, who is used to do this big business, when the other tiny little places go down, then they cannot fork this, and this is God doing. Verse 6 and 7, flee to Spain because your city will be destroyed. Look at this. Cross over to Tarshish. Go to Spain. Wail, you inhabitants of the coastland. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is from ancient days, whose feet carry her far off to dwell? In other words, when the world is in a stable economy and the world is strong, they think they command the world. We need no God. We are the ones. President Bush, the father, scared me to death when he said, what was he? He said, one world order. New world order. Boy, it scared me to death. I said, is the Antichrist coming at hand? New world order. He said, we need, he saw that the economy will be low, so we need to control the world by economic means. It's just amazing how God does this. God is the one behind all of this. Now, look at verse 8 and 9, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has purposed it. See, what happened there is what the Lord has purposed it. God has designed. Nothing escaped the design of God to bring to dishonor the pride of all glory to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. It's just amazing. It is amazing how the Lord do this. Verse 9 is very clear. The Lord has control of the world economically. See, is people relate. I listen to commentaries on television about Rodney and about these very spiritual and behavior and so on. He said, "Well, the reporter said, well, he can be whatever he wants to because that has no influence on his performance as president." Well, if you have a belief, and the belief you have no influence in your life, why do you have that belief? And this is why Israel left to be holy before the Lord, and so the Lord said, I get to you. And verse 9 is tell you about the sovereignty of God, even on unbelievers' nations, God is under control. The Lord of hosts. And what is the purpose, according to verse 9? Why God will do that? Look at verse 9. At the second paragraph said, to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth, to bring down those who are proud. And I wonder if we as a nation have become proud, or any nation of the world proud beyond God. See, when we say no Bible and no religious pictures on Christmas and no this and no the other, I think there's a lot of pride in the heart of man, and then we bring God's contempt into this. Now, verse 10 talks about the trade of Spain will cease. This is a future overflow through your land like the river, O daughters of Spain. There is no more strength. There is no more business, period. God is saying this is going to, is what is going to happen. Verse 11, all the kingdoms around the Mediterranean Sea will be shaken. Look at this. He stretches out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. All the nations that depend on that boat coming in, and now the boat is not coming, they cannot buy or sell. They are in chaos. A command from the Lord and the business world is gone. Look at verse 11. He shocked the kingdoms. The Lord has given a commandment against Cana to destroy his strongholds. A command of the Lord and the whole thing is gone. Boy, if people will, if believers will understand this, that the control of the world is on the hands of God. It's on the hands of our faithfulness. And when a nation like America has been blessed so richly and so powerful, when you and I have blessed so rich and powerful because we have life, we have provision, we have a house, and we have family, and we disregard the Lord, listen, the Lord can even control your business and put you down. Or my business and put me down. And this is very important. You don't know how many churches call here pastors who said, I offer my job because my church is now getting down and I lost my job. He said, I'm willing to work for $100,000 a year. And I said, well, you found a job. He said, no, but did your church need another pastor? He said, for $100,000, I will work. I said, well, brother, I think you better contact the Mexicans. They have a nice team at McDonald's for working on the yards, and they pay you $5 an hour. And it's a very good job, and you lose weight and so on. And they laugh, they hang up, because see, how can the churches have become a corporation? And in that style of corporation, then the Lord has to break them down. How they do it? By striking their economy. And if our church is not well and do the administration of our economy, the Lord does the same. That's exactly, look at verse 11. In the middle of verse 11, the Lord has given a commandment against Cana to destroy a stronghold. In other words, how is going to destroy? This time is not by using an army, it's by using the economy. In verse 12, all the joy of Tyre will stop. And he said, you will rejoice no more. See, people have fun when they have money. And they have joy. And they say, oh, now God is with us. But then when you do not recognize, there's nothing wrong to have money. And the Lord will bless you with money. But if you misuse that money, God's going to punish. All right, verse 12 again. There will be no rest for tired refugee. He said, "Oh, you oppressed virgin daughter of Sidon, arise across to Cyprus. There also you will have no rest." In other words, God said, when God persecute and God does the judgment, is complete, is full, accomplished for the entire nation, and everything is done, and is God doing this. You know, I found in the Bible, and especially in Isaiah, where it's 14, where Satan said, "I will go to hell, I will do this, and I will do the other." The pride is the highest sin against God. Pride. I have this, I have that. You know, you talk to two or three pastors together. The first thing they said, "How many people is in your church?" And my answer always is, "All the people that God sent." And they said, "Well, we have 300, and we'd like to have 10,000. I said, "What if the Lord like to have 10? I'll be satisfied with 10 people. Whatever the Lord sent, I'll be faithful to the Lord." You know, the Lord, Jesus, had how many? 12. Another 12. You have 4 or 5 who were really hot. The others were just going along. So I tell you, how we Christians copy from the world and try to, so we forgot that there is a God who looks my heart as a pastor, who looks the hearts of Brother Greg, looks the hearts of our deacons. And if we change for any reason the focus of our church to expansion the building and to do this, because people tells me, if you build a new church, a lot of people will come. I don't know if I want a lot of people. I want the people that God sent so I can evangelize them. You know, and this is here, verse 12, arise across to Cyprus and you will escape. You will do this and the other, but there will be no rest. In other words, the church of God, when we change our topics, when we change our ways, when we try to imitate the world, and rather than having a church, we have a corporation and we have all kinds of staff and all kinds of people and so on, God will give you no rest and want to stop you right there where you are. It's just fantastic. All right, verse 13, Tyre was going to be destroyed just as Babylon has been destroyed. Look at how it is. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, these people which was not a city, have found it for wild beasts of the desert. They set up its towers, they raised up its palaces, and brought it to ruin. In other words, the same thing I did with the Chaldeans, I'm going to do with you if you do not behave. You know, sometimes a church raises up and then comes down. I feel sorry when a church comes down. I was praying. Victor gave me some address here to watch some buildings. I went and see it. And I came back and I looked at this building and I did a drawing. I went to the city hall and I said, you know, if you leave me right where we are, I can expand my building and take the trailers away so there will be no problem and do something. He said, "Don't make a move, Pastor. We don't know what to do yet." He said, "I know you're an engineer. Don't make a move. We call you, and we reason with you. Don't sell anything. Just wait a little. It's so uncertain what we have here. But we like you," he said. You know, because I don't went against them, and I said, "I want to sue you." No, I said, "Whatever the city needs, we will help. But you have to understand, we also need a place." "Oh, yeah. They are with us." Hey, when we humble, God responds. And this is what the Bible is saying here. You people have the business so flourished like America, I will turn it down. And what are you going to do? Verse 14, the world will weep over the destruction of this powerful city. Wail, your ships of Spain. Your strength is laid waste. People will cry, and Chinese cry. Have you seen the commerce here when they had the stocks and the thing go down? Everybody crying and desperate. I saw people in front of the machine like that. Say, "I'm glad I don't have a penny in the stocks, so I don't have to worry about that." You know, the gold went up and people were paying $1,600, $1,700. Now the gold is only $1,400 and tomorrow it's going to be $1,350. It's going to come down because the dollar is a great price. I went to the bank to change our money that came from England. And I expected $190. They give me $130. And I say, "Is you people right?" Say, "Yes." I say, "Look at the machine. We don't touch it. We push your money, and the machine tell us the dollar went way up now, and it's only 1.3. The euro's 1.2. Wow. So what happened? Well, somewhere, somehow, Europe wants the dollar to be strong. So the economy managed it. I said, God, what are you doing? I need more money in this exchange. And it's just amazing how God controls something that we never thought God's control. So I have a lesson for you and me. When God's judgment fell upon Tyre, the known world of that day was humble. The day is coming when our world will also be humbled. And I copy you the reference in Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. People can suppress the truth so far until God said, that's enough. And let America play with this homosexuality. Let America play with this, and God's going to strike America hard because you do not fool with God. You and I also, in our private life, we cannot fool with God, and we have to be extremely, extremely serious about this. All right, so the first is the historical account that what God is going to do. Now comes the good part, the prophetical account. What happened? People tell me, Pastor, what happened? The economy go all down. You know, our church is okay. We have everything paid. Only one lady of the church. We owe $360,000, which is nothing for that lady. And that means I'm going to pay it, but I sell the property and I pay it. I have the money. And I stay here. If the economy go down, nobody's going to kick me out of here because no building will be built. So we are okay by the wisdom of God, you know. But if you and I start thinking in fantasy and start thinking, oh, we do this cathedral with this type of glasses, with the type of this and the other. Listen, God don't like that. God wants the message to be pure. I told the people, I bring this pulpit to the other building, whatever, because it's very big and I like it. And this pulpit will never pay a penny. A church went into this stupid glass pulpit. I don't like it. It looks like for a women pulpit. And I like a wood pulpit. Ezra chapter 8 said, and there was wood, and a pulpit was built. And so I like it. And the pastor of was Hillside. Now they said, do you want to toast it? He said, to toast it. We're going to throw away the pulpit and a few things, a projector, this. Do you want it? Yeah, we want it. The Navy said, we're going to throw away the pews. Do you want it? Yes, we want it. You see how the Lord provide, you know, and if you humble yourself, the Lord provide, and you see it very well, so there's no problem. Now, the prophetical account, the city of Tyre will be dormant for 70 years. Look at in verse 15. Now it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre will be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king. 70 years, the Tyre is going to be closed. Wow. The people can do anything they want to. They will not prosper because God said at this period of time, this business in Europe is going to be closed. At the end of the 70 years, Tyre will seek to arise from the ashes of the economy devastation. And that is in verse 15. Now it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre will be forgotten 70 years according to the days of the king. At the end of the 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as in the sons of the harlot. In other words, Tyre will, you know what it's going to do? Oh, perhaps advertising was not good. And so we'll try to do all kinds of things and so on. There are people who talk to me, say, Pastor, if you do better advertising of your church, you will have more people. I say, I have 100 advertisings every day. 100 advertisings. Where? Everywhere. So we don't see it. But don't you see our people? You are the best advertising of our church. I'm the best advertising of a pastor of a church. Each time I go, I'm aware that what I walk, whatever I said in that McDonald's, whatever is the pastor saying, and is important. And so the best advertising is this. So these people, they think themselves and say, oh, we're going to advertise. We're going to do some manipulations here. Maybe the business will grow. Verse 16 tells me that Tyre will be like an old prostitute who seeks once again to play her trade and sing songs. Look at verse 16. Take a harp, go about the city, you forgotten harlot, make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou may be remembered. In other words, Egypt and all these people said, well, we're going to change the method. We have to do something new. Somebody told me, if you do something new every year, your church will be packed. I know, we crazy? I said, the only thing new I do is I start another book of the Bible. I plan after Leviticus, I plan Matthew already. So that's my new thing. But it's not new because it's all here. But that's how we think in the world. Now, verse 17, the Lord, once again, is going to have an intervention. Look at verse 17. And it shall be at the end of the 70 years that the Lord will deal with Tyre. She will return to her hire and commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. In other words, the Lord sees what the people are doing. And then in verse 18, what about the believers who live in that place? Look at verse 18. Her again and her pay will be set apart for the Lord. It will not be treasure nor layup, for her gain will be for those who dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for fine clothing. You know what that means? That means in times of chaos, in times of a real disaster economically, the people of God will be stable. If you are wise with your money, if you separate what you give to the Lord, and you are wise how you spend your money, that you do not have a new car every 3 years, that you do not buy a fancy home every 5 years, that you do not borrow from the bank so that you have money for vacation and things like that. If you are wise with your money, look at verse 18. He said at the end, he said this, for her again will be for those who dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for fine clothing. There will be five people. Somebody told me here one day at the end, he said, Pastor, he said, I know you are ashamed, you have fine clothing. Oh, yeah, I said, look at this suit. See the brand? My mother was a shoemaker, and she had a lot of relations with cloth makers and so on, so I know about clothing, about this. I buy only this here. So where do you buy? In Stanford. So how much you pay? $29.50. So how you do it? Well, there is a Goodwill in Stanford. And I call the lady and I say, will you tell me when those professors bring their suit that they use only 1 or 2 days? And it's $29.90. They said, this is my size. Say, I give you a $20 gift if you call me. And they call me. Say, we have this brown. My wife don't want brown. We have green. My wife don't want green. I like all colors. My wife don't like it. So she said, no, I want blue and, you know, the Spanish style. Dark blue, dark, you know, the Spanish. How can a man 70 years old will have a light color? You know, things like that. But it's wonderful. And those suits, they paid $1,800 and $2,300. See? And so it is, I said, will you perhaps, I said, have professors turn in their shoes after they go to a banquet and come back. In America, they have big shoes like me. I'm 47, you know, big shoes. I said, yes. As a matter of fact, I have these pairs. He said, this was a $1,300 shoe. Can you imagine people paying that? I said, well, I give you 20. No, these are for 15. And I got it for 15, and I wear it. That's beautiful. Now, in other words, if you are humble yourself and you are wise, these verses apply. And for fine clothing, and for this. You know, it is remarkable that in prophecy, God is saying, I will protect my people. But some people think, oh, God's going to rain money, and I'm going to spend it in the way I want it. It's not that way. You're going to be wise what you do. So here's the lesson. How can God meet our needs now? I copied the text. There was a text for my life in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You first seek God, and then you are prudent, you are under God's control, and then he takes care of you. How God is going to do that? Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Is that clear? If you can believe what this book said and you live by what the book said, now listen, all things are possible. not in the way that you want it, but in the way that God wanted, and you will never, never lack anything. So here is the chapter to me. God is going to oppress the economy of Spain and Egypt, and all the other people will suffer around. Always the same. If the economy of America is suppressed, China suffers, the others suffer, the others. It's always the same. But God is doing this. But the believer, he will be okay. Most of the time, people come to counsel with me with big debts, houses of $800,000, $900,000, loans of $500,000 on people who only earn $3,000 a month. And they say, Pastor, the banks are terrible and this and the other. I say, well, I want to speak the truth. The terrible is not the bank, it's you. Why do you took this money? Oh, because I want this and the other. No, you only want what you have. And always I carry cash so I can make a deal on it. And I said, that's it. Oh, no, but this is America. See, come on, come on. Believers, don't do that. People of the church, we don't want to get a loan in the bank and get a glorious building and then lose it, like this church right there on Battlefield. I visit them, and I said, you know, it's not fitting for me, but I will buy it for $100,000. No, he said, this church is about $4 million. Well, you tell the bank that I will give $100,000 cash. Pastor, you're crazy. So I get a call from the bank. A bank in New York said, are you sure you want to buy that church? Of course, I said, you are joking for $100,000, but we want to talk to you. Well, I don't know. I said, you write to me an offer, and I'm going to pay cash, all cash. I go to the bank, get two suitcases, I bring the money. Come on, I said, Pastor, you're joking. No, no joking. A little more than $100,000. They said, no, the people cannot pay $10,000 a month. Can you imagine going into a bank who charge interest, $10,000 a month for having the building? I said, I feel sorry. I want the church to stand. I don't want to take it over. He said, well, they're going to start closing because we are pushing hard on them. And I don't know if the church has two floors or it's only one floor. And I don't know how it is. And I don't know if it's good for us or not. But there will be opportunities for us in a given moment. So we are not in a hurry. We just have to follow God. He controls the economy. And if we let God control our heart, we're okay. So here's the conclusion. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. You believe it? I do believe it. And the Lord will keep us alive. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson tonight. We are okay if we behave according to your rules. Oh, God, how blessed we are to have your Bible teaching us what you want and teaching us examples of what could happen if we do not behave according to your word. Oh, give us a humble heart, a very heart who is satisfied with the things we have, and let us bring the gospel to this nation. In Jesus we pray, amen. For those in the internet, good night.